see that your feet sweep, Spirit, sweep over my soul, sweep over, sweep.
Saints, may the Lord bless each and every one of you this morning.
Amen.
It's a beautiful morning today. The sunshine is out, and but it's always shining in my heart when it comes. It's a double blessing. I would like to read from a few places in the Bible this morning. It's a Sunday school lesson, so I'm going to try and do a Sunday school lesson. But the problem is that this topic is so much on my heart. So I'm going to try to do a Sunday school lesson and not a sermon. Maybe one day we will try to speak about it on another, not in a Sunday school lesson. I'd like to read from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The pastor mentioned this verse, I think, the last time we had service on Friday. There was less people than the people that are in here last Friday, so it's always a challenge when we come to these places. And the Bible says, perhaps maybe I'll read from verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Unto every one of us is given grace. So there's grace given to you this morning. Let's find where. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So captivity, whatever was holding you captive, has been held captive by Jesus. And there's no need for you to be held captive by whatever it was that was holding people captive. But he gave gifts unto men. What gifts? If we skip now to verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Now we can look at this in one way to say, this brother has been given a gift as an apostle, that one is a pastor, that one is a teacher. But we can also look at it, he gave gifts unto men. So when you get a pastor, that's a gift that God has given to you. When you get an apostle, that's a gift God has given to you. Yeah? And I want to look at it that way this morning. That he gave gifts unto some he gave apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So for the perfecting of saints, God gave these things. This is God's provided way for you and for me to become perfected. And for the edifying of Christ, of the body of Christ. Until when? Because if you might think you get perfect and you don't need it anymore. Till we all come. So as long as there's still one of us who's not come into a certain condition, we still need this. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These are the conditions for the rapture. Until you and me come into that condition, we need this ministry. We need the gifts that God has given unto us for us to come to that stage. But what happens then? God has given the ministry. If the brothers can come in and before we pray, just God has given the ministry. He has provided a place where ministry can go forth. But what happens when you forsake it? No wonder it says, forsake not the assembling of the saints. Because as long as you forsake it, how are you going to get perfected? You can listen to tapes 25 hours in a day, and that's a good thing. But you need the ministry to minister to you in this way for the perfecting of the saints. Let's pray for a minute. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word, Lord. We thank you that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that you led captivity captive. We thank you that you have given unto us gifts, O God. Father, that we may become perfected, that we may come to the stature of a man, Lord, that is a perfect man after the likeness of Jesus Christ. So we want to come before you this morning, Lord, just to look into these things, Father, that it may help us in the days that we are living in, for the enemy has come, slumbering spirit has come, Lord, and the people somehow, Father, pulling away. But we just want to remind ourselves of these things that it may help us in this day that we live. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated for a while, saints. I want to do that just a Sunday school lesson to help one another, because many times I know that we've been believers for a long time. Some of us here have been believers before I was born, 36 years ago. They were believers. But there's something about human nature, that can make you to begin to forget. Not the way you would forget, say, your password and you can't remember it. But you begin to forget the Lord. And we want to find out, what does that mean to forget the Lord? So we find here in Ephesians that God has given ministry for your perfecting and for me to prepare us. God is not going to do that part for you. He knew you need to be prepared for the rapture, and he has provided a way for you to get prepared, but he's not going to come and hold your hand and prepare you. In Revelations, the Bible says the bride had made herself ready. It doesn't say God made the bride ready. God has provided everything that you need to get ready, but it's up to you whether you use it or not. So there's no way you are going to blame God come that day that, how come me, I'm left behind, or this and that and that. No, you neglected something. God gave it for you, but you neglected it. And many, many times we neglect it because we forget the Lord. Now, what do I mean by forgetting the Lord? If we turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, I want to read from verse 11 there. This was given to the children of Israel when they came to the promised land. And God was telling them something. He says, beware that you forget not the Lord thy God, because it's human nature to forget. So he's saying, beware, be careful that you forget not. Now that was Israel's physical, we are Israel's spiritual. And we also must beware that we forget not the Lord. How do we forget? You never wake up one morning and forget that there's no God. You always know you have something in you that knows there is God. But there's a way people forget God. Beware that you forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments. Amen. That's how people forget God. You don't keep God's commandments, you have forgotten him. Yeah? And his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day. So when you find that you are not doing part of his judgments, you are forsaking some of his commandments and his statutes, you are forgetting the Lord. And listen to how these people, lest when you have eaten and are full and has built goodly homes and dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold, your money in the bank is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. So people can forget because the circumstances that made you to worship God, they are not there anymore. These people were very close, crying unto the Lord, send us the deliverer, send us the deliverer, because there were certain conditions in their lives. But then now those conditions have been taken away. The people have come into the promised land and they begin to prosper. Now, the reason that they are prospering, the reason that God is blessing them at that time, is because of how they followed the commandments of the Lord up to that time. Amen. Yeah, it's because of how they walked close to God. But then now, because those conditions that seemingly pushed them to do that are no longer there, they are working, their money is increasing, things seemingly are getting on well for them, they begin to forget the Lord. They begin to forget the very thing that brought them to the space where they are becoming prosperous. Now they say, I've got to keep my job, brother. I can't come to church on a Friday night because I have to keep my job. They are forgetting that that job, for you to have that job, it was God who gave it to you in the beginning. Yeah, it was God. You were wanting that job and you were sincere and praying and say, oh Lord, give me a job and give me this job. And God said, well, I'll give him this job. Because God will never give you something more than what your character can handle. Yeah? And he sees that your character has developed to a place where you see you depend on God to get a job. He gives you the job. Now you think you need to maintain that job yourself. And when they ask you for extra time on a Friday, then you go and do extra time because you say, I want to maintain this job. You are forgetting who gave you that job in the first place. Now, what makes the thing more complicated is that God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't give you a job, now you stop following him, and then he takes that job to chastise you. No, he doesn't. Yeah? He still lets you keep it. And you think that, yeah, by my own hands have I gotten these things. Yeah? Listen, verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hands has gotten me this wealth. That's what people do. That's what people do. And we say amen to that. That's what people do, isn't it? But that's what you do when you don't come to church. Sometimes there's genuine reasons why people don't come to church. Maybe it's a mother in the hospital with a son who is sick, and she's looking after her child there. But really, what other reason can there be that people don't come to church on a Friday night? And a Wednesday night? Or even Sunday? What reason really is there if you are a Christian that you choose to take the word of God and put it on the side and choose to take something else? Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the saints. Especially as we see the day approaching. And we know that that day is approaching. It's coming. But what do we do? The Bible says, when you see the day approaching, gather the more often. And we want to discuss about coming to church on a Tuesday night and Thursday night, Brother David, and Sunday, on top of the Friday that we have. How is that going to be possible, saints? You tell me, when people can't cross the street to come to church on a Wednesday. Crossing the street. The roads here are good. The Lord has blessed us with many, many blessings because of our obedience to his word. But now, because he has blessed us, the fridges are full, there is no way we can ever lack. Now we begin to forget the Lord. May God have mercy on us for doing that. Because many times we think, I've gotten these things by my own hands. Now you can ask me a question now to say, well, Brother Will, how come my boss at work doesn't even know God and he's getting rich? Yeah? How come Judas got money from selling Jesus? How come the devil himself offered Jesus say, I'll give you this whole world. So there is ways you can also get rich. And that's the way many of us are taking. By forsaking God's word and going another way. Because God says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. All these other things, they will be added to you. Whatever you have need of. But we think that I need to work with my hands to maintain my job. I need to work with my hands to get a house for my children. You can do that. You can work with your hands and maintain your job. You can work with your hands and get a house and everything. But I doubt if it is a blessing from the Lord. Because when God gives a blessing, if you want to know if something you have came from the Lord, that thing is a blessing to you the day that you receive it. It's a blessing to you 2 weeks later. It's a blessing to you 6 months later. 6 years, 20 years, that thing remains a blessing. Because in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, when God blesses, he doesn't add grief with it. But many times the reason why your job has become something that has held you captive, you just measure then with the word and find out. Yeah? Because there's a way you can get things for yourself. But I would rather go the way that God has given for me to get things. Because the Bible says promotion does not come from the east, the west, the north, from the south, but it's God who judges. Yeah? So if you walk with the Lord the way that you are supposed to walk with him, there's no way he's going to withhold back from you the things that he needs. As long as your character is going the way that God wants you, and you use God's provided way, because there's a certain way of approaching God. Yeah? There's a certain way of doing things when you want an audience with God. You don't live your life anyhow the way you want, even though you have a right to do it, and then think that now I need God on a certain situation and I can just come and... Yes, God is a merciful God. He will do that. But he's also just and he's righteous. Yeah? But if you live your life in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. There's no way it can happen. He will give you blessings. But many times when we look at our friends and see, these boys, I used to help them in school, but look, they're directors of companies and what. How do you know if that boy sleeps at night? Because as long as they get their things any other way besides God's provided way, there's grief associated with it. People try to pay so much money just to find an hour of sleep. They have no peace in their hearts. But you can afford to sleep. You can sleep so much until you say, I'm not going to church today. I'm just going to lie in. Because of the peace in your heart. It sounds like a joke, doesn't it? But that's what people do. We take the very blessings that God has given us, and we turn around and point our finger at God. May God have mercy on us for doing things like that. Because I don't think it's right for anybody to have an excuse not to come to church. I don't know what your excuse is. If I lived in Limerick, brother, and these doors are open, I'll be here. Yeah? Brother Maxwell is here. Where does he live? I went to his house one morning. It's not near. It's far. But he comes every service, unless Brother Maxwell is in Italy. He comes every service. But somebody cannot literally cross the road to come to church. And it's only 10, 15 minutes away. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. If you think that is hard today, but you wait until we get to heaven. Yeah? And it's not like you are going to go to heaven by ticks to see how many times did you attend church. No, saints. But surely when the word says, forsake not the assembling of the saints, why do we do that? How are we ever going to increase the times that we meet? Because the days are getting evil. Look, in Russia, people can't be free the way they want to be free. It's not the only country. Many countries are taking that road. And it's going to come here also. Yeah? Even the things Brother Eli was preaching about, schools and things like that, you think those things are far. They are very near. My daughter was telling me yesterday that they were made to play. She's a girl. She said they made all the girls in class to play boy and the boys to play girls. Last week. Yeah? You think it's far? These things are very, very near to us. Yeah? And we have to come to a place where we say, saints, let us fulfill scripture. The days are getting evil. The coming of the Lord is near. We've got to gather more often because the Bible says that. But surely how will we do that? When the fridge is full, the account is with lots of money, and the car, you can change car anytime you want. You see, the people that are suffering somewhere, they know they depend on God all the time. But here you just know, I can depend on the state, I can depend on this one and that one. Anytime, I'll never suffer or lack food. So why would you need God? That's what we are saying to God. But me, I need God every hour, every minute, every second. And what I'm saying is the truth, because I've seen God doing things like that. Not in somebody's life, in my very own life, I see how God does things for me. And I know that this is the key here. The prophet says that, yeah? God has a hard time finding somebody who he can bless and that person remains humble. Is that true, saints? I say amen, it's true. It's very difficult for God to find a man who he can bless. Just get a good car there and you see if the brother will come to church often. But when that brother had nothing, we never had a request from that brother to say, I'm sick, I can't come to church today. No, he would come every time, sick or not sick. But just let him get blessed a little bit. He now has a phone that can WhatsApp, he sends a message. I'm a little bit sick today. I'm not coming. Shame on you, I say. Yeah? Ah, saints, I don't know. This thing is so much on my heart. If I could use my bells to go and whip the people to come to church. How can it be when people arrange things for the world? You will never miss. It can be arranged in a year's time. You will text and say, I'll be there at that event. But church, it's not a lot of time that we spend here. Yeah? Some of you people here, you would never steal time from your boss. No way! You would rather be at work 10 minutes early. Yeah? And you will stay 10 minutes late. Your lunch, you will not take 1 hour, you take 50 minutes. Because you want to keep your job. You would never steal time from the people in the world here. But what are you doing with God's time? Because we must pay a tenth to the Lord. Yeah? How many hours is that? 2 hours, 40 minutes every day. Yeah? So we might as well have service here for 2 hours every day. Is that going to happen? But we only try to have service here 3 times in a week, and it's never that long. If you add all the time we spend here, it doesn't even come to 10%. But it's very easy for a man to steal God's time. God. You know the reason why that happens? It's because people don't believe that there is God. If you really know that we are coming to a judgment day one day, where you are going to be asked, what did you do with your time? What did you do with it? What are you going to say to the Lord? But if you don't believe that that is going to happen, you just know intellectually, but deep in your heart, you don't believe that it's going to happen. That's why it's very easy to steal from the Lord his time. It's very easy to steal from the Lord his tithings and all the other things associated with it. But we are talking about time today. Yeah? We must pay our time to the Lord. We've got to. Listen what the prophet says. Notice, this is the message, Approach to God, 1955. Notice the approach to God. God has a way of approach. A way, not many ways, yeah? You know, if you are going to visit a king, there's a way you approach a king. There's a way to approach, well, let's make it simpler than that. Don't you love the message? The prophet says, let's make it simpler than that. The boy that wants to approach the young lady to get acquainted with her, and many of us here, we know what that takes, because nearly everybody here is married, except you two brothers. You take notice how to approach a sister. There's a certain approach. You just can't come up there and say, hey, they like to meet you and shake your hand. And she isn't very much of a lady. If she isn't very much of a lady, she will let you know where to get on and off it. Yeah? All right. There's a certain way you want to approach it. You want to come up with respects to the lady and so forth. And there's a way to approach all things. There's a way to approach God. And if we don't know the approach to God, we will never be able to get an audience with God. So if we don't know how to approach God, there's no way you get an audience with God. See? You have to know. Now, what does Jesus say in the book of John? Verse 14, just as we close now, before the people upstairs come down. John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. It seems very simple, isn't it? If you love me, if you love Jesus, you keep his commandments. And this word that we are talking about is God's word. Yeah? There is no way you can claim you love God and you don't keep his commandments. He goes on to say, my sheep hear my voice. So whose voice are you hearing today? When your manager says, I need you at work, and when the Lord says, forsake the assembling of the saints, whose voice are you listening? You say, I believe you, God, amen, but your actions prove who you really are. Because the time has come for you to choose. Should I be in the house of the Lord or not? Yeah? But I'm required to be at work. And you make your choice. It shows your true colors. Yeah? There's no other way of making it look nice. When you choose to go to work and you put God's word aside, may this word remain in your heart. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the saints. May you remember that every time there's a Wednesday service, and I pray you remember it on a Friday night and a Sunday morning. And Sunday, many times everybody comes to church. This place is going to be full soon. There'll be nowhere to sit. But people still choose what time to come. Yeah. Why don't you come here for quiet time? There's a lot of virtue in quiet time. A lot of virtue. Many things that happen after service depend on your attitude towards quiet time. The prophet teaches us that. That's why we have quiet time. It's a very necessary component of our worship. Many times people choose to come after the songs are done. Because maybe they don't like some of the musicians. You are only robbing yourself of God's blessings to you when you forsake the assembling of the saints. May God help me that I will never forget the Lord. Because I love him. And I want to show by my actions that I love him. And when I come to him to approach God for anything that I need, when my wife falls down and bangs her head on the floor, my son gets, oh, I don't have a son yet. When he gets sick and goes to hospital, my triplets, I want to be able to reach out to God immediately, say, Lord, be merciful to my wife. And she gets up and says, I'm okay, nothing happened. Yeah? Why? Why does that happen? Because when I pray to God, you listen to this sentence. When you pray to God, it's not just the prayer that you are making at that time that's going to move God. Because when you pray to God, you are presenting a prayer to God, but you are also presenting a token together with that prayer. Yeah? But many times the token that is missing in your prayer. Your life has been lived any other way that you want, and you think it's just going to work magic. No, when you pray and present your life to God, let him look and say, this is a good child, makes many mistakes, but trying. Amen. Yeah? I would rather move mountains to get to church than not even put effort at all. Just to know it's Wednesday night and I'm not even going to put effort. And it doesn't condemn you in your heart. There's something seriously lacking in your life. If you know there's service going on and you didn't even put effort to come, may God help you. Is my prayer. Let us pray. Amen. you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Lord, we just want to say, Lord, may your name be glorified, Lord, and that may you have mercy upon us, Father, for there is no way we are going to enter in. Lord, when we don't take a stand, the stand of the believer, when we, Lord, Father, compromise on any of these things, when we read in your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the people that we find in the Bible that made any reputation for themselves in life, that we still read in the Bible, Lord, they were people that were radical. They were people that did not compromise. They were people that stood on the word of God. May it be, Father, that every one of us, Lord, when the time comes when we have to choose between the house of the Lord and any other thing in this life, Father, let it be that we will not forget you, but that we will follow thy commandments. Bless your people. Bless the remainder of the day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.